can't dig your music with a shovel. Whole mix be unlevel. This the they want forever. Diamonds is a girl best friend. Swap the Pandora out. This gon' last for years. She know what it was, but you know what it is. We can be forever, or we can end right here. So point me to the cake. It's my birthday. Money made her on our first date. I see the game hurting. I'm the first aid. I'ma be around for some decades.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Good afternoon. This is Betty Daniels from WHFR, Fourth Tuesday. And in doing an interview, a telephone interview with Reverend Spruill from Operation Hope. And Reverend Spruill, if you will introduce yourself and the people that you're with, we'll start with you, okay?
Thanks so much, Sister Daniels, for this opportunity to share what we're doing in the community. I have with me today Pastor Johnny Harris from Spring Hill Missionary Baptist Church from Inkster. I have with me also Jeff Hunt from Covenant Community Care Clinic and my office manager, Ms. Ramona Lawrence.
Okay. Now, we have had interviews with Hope at different times in the past. So this is a particular project that you are talking about that you wanted to let the audience know about, or just what is it that we're going to be talking about today?
We'll talk about, we call it the Give Back Project.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what we're trying to raise 1,000 blanket kits for the homeless for Wayne County. And so our goal is to raise the funds to purchase the blankets for our Give Back Project. And no, right now, as we can tell by the weather already, this is going to be a pretty cold winter. And so we are trying to offer some type of covering for the homeless this year, also with the blankets.
All right. Now, this drive has already started, or is it ongoing, or just what's going
on? Yes, the drive already started, yes. We have, people are participating right now, but we are about 800 blankets short of our goal.
All right.
And so I want to try to reach that about at least 1st of January, hopefully end of December, 1st of January. So when it's 10 below outside or 15 below outside, we can have the blankets to issue to the homeless.
All right. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you for the contact number, and we're going to repeat that during the interview so people will be able to know how to go about reaching you, for this particular endeavor. So what is the contact number if someone wants to call you and follow up on this particular thing?
Our contact number is 313-897-5503.
All right. Now, is that if there are certain hours that they can reach you, or just how?
That's Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 3
mm-hmm.
p.m., Monday through Thursdays.
All right. Okay.
They can call 24. We have a voicemail, so they can call.
Very good. Them. Very, very good. Okay. Now, is this the first time that Hope is doing this particular project, or is this something new?
This is our first year doing this project, and I'm doing it with Spring Hill Mission Baptist Church and Covenant Care Clinic. Those will be two of our drop-off points.
All right.
Also, St. Leo Kitchen is going to be another place, which is a soup kitchen where the homeless gather to eat.
All right.
It's going to be another one of our drop-off points as well.
Okay. Now, I know that, so that's we Reverend Harrison and the other gentleman. I'm sorry, I forgot your name again.
Covenant Care Clinic, yes. And Sister Daniel, he's going to share with you a little bit of what they do and
okay.
how to benefit the homeless as well.
Good. You know? Go ahead.
Hi, sister. Yeah, my name is Jeff Hunt, and I've been managing the homeless outreach program for Covenant Community Care for the last 4 years or so. And what we do is we're a primary care medical clinic. There's a lot of barriers that people on the street and very poor people have when it comes to accessing health care. So what we try to do is meet them where they're at and try to remove those barriers, whether those be barriers of substance abuse or mental health, or transportation, comprehension of the different challenges that everybody faces in trying to access medical care. So we meet them on the street, we provide care that they need at that time, and then we try to connect them with a primary care doctor. And that's what Covenant Community Care is. We're a primary care clinic with different locations around the city, west side, east side, southwest, and up in Royal Oak. And yeah, that's what we do. So we try to help the homeless where they're at.
All right, now, how did you come to become in contact and working with Reverend Sproul with this particular endeavor?
Well, the meeting started with the CEO, Paul Propson, Covenant Care Community Care Clinic, and I shared with him the vision for the kids this year. He thought it was a great idea, and he asked me how could Covenant Care Clinic participate, and I said, well, let them have an van. There'd be one avenue where we could disperse the blankets with them by them tending to the homeless with their van.
Okay, and I want to have the different people that are in the office with you. Feel free just to jump in because you know more about what's going on, and you might, and certain little things might come to your mind. So just feel free to jump in, and we'll take it from there. Okay.
Well, I just excuse me. This is Ramona. I just want to clarify that it's not just blankets. It's a kit, and the kit includes a blanket, hat, scarf, gloves, socks, and some toiletries. So they will be getting purchased. They will be receiving a complete kit.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Now, Reverend Harrison, what about Spring Hill? How did they get involved with that?
Well, Spring Hill got involved with this particular project because we have a relationship with HOPE. I'm the vice chair on the board with HOPE. And so as a result, Reverend Sproul and I talked about how we can be instrumental in the Inkster community because we are dealing with our own poverty and blight. And there's a great need to do outreach to the community. So I was able to come on board and provide a service for those who are less fortunate in the community of Inkster. So the kit will be very valuable to those who are on the street, those who are in abandoned homes. And so this is how we became, you know, came on board. And I want to be a hub in Wayne County in that particular area that is so often forgotten, and that we could be instrumental in reaching those who are, you know, destitute and have a great need for this particular kit.
All right. Now, the mechanics, because we got three different drop-off locations, are you going to, you know, will people just be bringing them to each one of the drop-off locations and you distribute it from there, or just how does that all that work?
Well, my plan is to give each location 100 blankets, you know, and then there will be, they can disperse them out to the homeless in that particular area. For instance, like St. Leo Soup Kitchen located on Warren and Grand River. And then we have Spring Hill Mission Baptist Church, and it's quite natural here at Hope Community Center that they'll be here, and also we're on Covenant Community Van as well.
All right. Now, sometimes, you know, when there's a good thing, you might get swamped. Is there a way that you determine who gets if I'm understanding the young lady, she was saying that it's a kit. They get a full kit, correct?
Yes.
All right. So do the people sign up to in order to be able to receive these kits, or is
Oh, yes. Yeah, they have to sign for the kits because we want to reach as many people as we can, but at the same time, we don't want to duplicate with the same person. So they will have to just sign for the kit, you know. So they go to this location, they find out if I can go to St. Louis and get a blanket. So but they'll have to sign for it, then we'll condense our list, make sure we're not giving out the same blanket to the same person, you know.
Okay. Now, when you receive all these blankets and all these different kind of kits, what's behind the scene? What goes on behind the scenes?
Well, when the kids come in, we have to put them together.
Okay.
And so the board, along with other volunteers, will come together, and we would put the kids together, like the toiletry and the gloves and the socks and so forth. We'll come together and put them all together to make the kit, you know. And so it's a time of just thanking God and being also an avenue where we can reach those who are just unfortunate in us, you know.
Okay. Now, with Coventry, I understand that that's something they've done this in the past, or is this something new for you also?
Covenant Care Clinic, they've been taking care of homes for a while, and Jeff can tell you how many days a week they do it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, Jeff. Jeff, why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, so Covenant Community Care, we're out on the street every day, Monday through Friday. It's my 9-to-5 job. I'm blessed to be able to serve people every day out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we encounter people that we know. We encounter people that we don't know yet. We try to bless them in whatever way we can, with medical care being, mm-hmm. you know, the area that we're experts in.
Okay.
But, you know, we give people boots on their feet all day. Foot wounds and blisters and frostbite are all serious things out there.
All right. Now, you just brought up something, is that when people come in for one need, most of the time they have other multiple needs. Are those addressed when they come in for that, and how to go about it? I'm asking Jeff. I'll start with Jeff first, then we'll go to the other people.
Yeah, so whatever way we can help them. So I was just talking to Pastor Harrison here about that, you know, we have relationships with all the different social service agencies in the community, so we try to connect people with those resources. So we're not housing experts, we're not a shelter, but we know the people that are.
Mm-hmm.
We try to connect people with the needs that they have, that they come to us with, you know, the best we can.
All right, and that was probably what I was getting to, is that quite often, well, I would assume, and that's a bad thing to say, assume, because, you know, that's on your limited ignorance, but that, you know, with the fact that they need the blankets, there is a homelessness going on. And sure. So, and that, you know, when people come to you, you know, what would be the next step with that? Reverend Harrison, would that be something that you encounter so, or is it because, you know?
Well, right now, again, Inkster is in a position where there's many needs, and where my church is centrally located, I see a lot of people on the streets. So in interacting with them, I'm getting to know them and trying to figure out or find out exactly what their needs are.
Mm-hmm.
So with this project and the winter coming, I know that's going to be a need because many people are on the streets. So that's one service that we can provide, but we're looking to provide other services as the season goes on, because we initially had tried a soup kitchen. So there's things, various things I'm looking at as pastor of Inkster Spring Hill, how we can go out into the community and meet them exactly where they are.
Yes, what I'm, you know, and I have done some other interviews with other agencies that, you know, out there doing different services, and one of the findings, they find out that the collaborative efforts such as your are doing now, that you're getting information, and as Jeff was saying, you try not to be jack of all trades, but you like to find out where the other jack the other trades are, so you can provide services to that. At this time, I'm going to ask for the drop-off center. Let me backtrack. The contact for this particular effort is the number that Reverend Sproul gave me at the beginning. Is that correct?
Yes, it's 313-897-5503.
Okay. Now, our radio has a corridor where an Inkster is part of our reach corridor. Reverend Harrison, would you want your number to go out?
Yes, I can give you a number where they can contact me.
Okay. On that number.
That would be 248-808-0306.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Jeff for Coventry?
Yeah, so Covenant Community Care, I'll just give my cell phone. That'd be the best way to do it. 313-996-9029.
Okay. And then, not to confuse people, as I'm thinking of, there are always these different telephone numbers. Reverend Spruik would be a good contact for you both, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Also, our website, too. Sister Dan, I forgot you got a website.
Okay. All right. And that website is?
It's www.hopeindetroit.org.
Mm-hmm.
And they can use our PayPal account to make donations as well while they're there.
Okay. Do you need them to earmark that you want to go to the blankets, or how do you do that?
Yes, that would help. And each kit, by the way, is $10.
Mm-hmm.
So if people just wanted, if they just donated the minimum of $10, that would be one kit to help one homeless person.
Okay. Thank you, Lorna. Okay. All right. Now, when people, are we now just talking about financial donations, or can people actually bring blankets or bring other kinds of things, or what are you open to doing now?
Just financial reason why being, because, you know, people have the big heart, but they'll bring blankets that will not withstand outdoor weather.
Okay.
Even we'll be able to, you know, withstand the weather. So, we, you know, people, I had one person, they misinterpreted what I said. They bought a blanket. It's a nice blanket, but it's not going to help the guy in weather, you know.
Okay.
Give it to someone, but it's not going to help. So, we really actually need the money. We can purchase blankets ourselves. You know?
All right. Okay. Other types of, now this is, you said this is going to be starting from, it's already started.
Yes.
And you, is there a cutoff date where you can receive money, so can people continue to make donations, you know, throughout the winter?
Yes. Throughout the winter, yes. They can still continue doing our website.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, blanket, all right, so you know, you're not having, there's not this thing of having to sort out blankets and put the kits together. Where are the kits put together? Are they put together at each location, or how does that go?
No, all the blanks will be done here at the 6125 Beachwood Hope Community Resource Center. Mm-hmm. They'll all be done here.
Okay. Jeff, you have been in the community with this type of thing. Is this a new effort, and what has been some of the other things that you experienced in trying to address the needs of people like this?
Well, I think it's a new effort for Hope as far as this particular thing. There's a lot of different efforts that a lot of different organizations, you know, put forth to help the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think maybe there's a growing awareness of it and more outreach being done out there. It's hard for me to give a comprehensive view of.
Oh, well, you know, I'm not trying to make you jack of all trades. Just,
no.
just,
right.
just in your, you know, you have been with Coventry for how long now?
Covenant. So Coventry is actually an insurance company.
Oh, okay.
But we're Covenant.
Oh, Covenant. All right. So how did the insurance company get involved in this kind of effort then?
So we're not the insurance company. I'm just saying Coventry is a different organization than who we are.
Oh, okay. All right.
Make it clear because
So now that I've confused everybody completely, explain
right.
again who you are, okay, and
so,
give the correct name.
Covenant Community Care. We're a federally qualified health center.
Okay.
We have several different clinics around the city, and we provide primary care. We also provide dental care.
Okay.
We also have behavioral health, and we also have substance abuse, an outpatient substance abuse clinic. And so we do a lot of different things. And then my role in the organization is we head up this very small homeless outreach team. And we also have a team that goes out on Friday nights to help the prostituted women on the street,
mm-hmm.
who are some of the most vulnerable homeless people that are out there. And so that's what we do. I've worked for Covenant for 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Started as a chaplain. And for the last 4 years or so, I've kind of been a street chaplain,
mm-hmm.
Trying to bring the love of Jesus out to the people on the street.
Okay. And you have been involved with Hope for a little while or just?
So, I'm sorry. So, you're asking me again?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
So, Pastor Spool is a board member for Covenant Community Care, and that's how we first met. So,
okay.
He started bringing some of their clients to Covenant mm-hmm. way back then when we were on our original location on West Grand Boulevard
mm-hmm.
many years ago now,
yeah.
probably 8 or 9 or 10 years ago. And so I'll let him talk about that.
Yeah, so, Sister Danielle, our relationship started with, again, the CEO, Paul Propson, but when the MPR, Michigan Prison Reentry Program, was first introduced, guys would come up from prison and have access to health care. And so Covenant Care Clinic opened their doors and gave me 12 slots a month to bring return assistance to the clinic to receive health care,
mm-hmm.
and that's how it started, you know. And so there we just continue our relationship, you know. Even now, you know, if someone needs some health care, you know, I can, you know, they would help them out if I refer them to them. So it's an ongoing relationship. I may be a board member, I know what we're doing and what we do as a Covenant Care Clinic, but also they walk alongside hoping to help us to fulfill our missions as well.
Okay. Now, Jeff began to bring up some of the different people who will be recipients of these kits. Can you tell us a little bit more about who, you're in the process, you know, you have a goal. Where will you be, who will be the people that are going to be benefiting, you know, as you anticipate? All right, let me come back. How did you come up? You guess you said 800, so therefore I'm thinking you're anticipating, you're getting a number where you're anticipating where the need's going to be. Where do you think, what target groups are you looking at to service?
Well, if the homeless population, it's kind of hard to say because, you know, homeless, they move around from place to place and all depends on, you know, where they're located at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, you know, with the homeless population being so great, I think it's approximately around over 2,000, I think, in the city, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere, I mean, that's a ballpark figure, around about 2,000. So I thought, well, if Lord placed my heart to just give 1,000, and so I feel if we can impact 1,000 lives,
right,
that would be great, you know. There'll be impact. Again, you know, asking for funds, I share with people. I say, you know, homeless is something that we, you know, who knows what could happen to us, you know. But there's a great need because, like I say, in the cold winter in Michigan, you know, be honest about it, you know, we see a homeless person on the street, we're not going to pick them up and bring them home. And I thought, well, for $10, I mean, my goodness, you can say, well, I did get 10, or I brought 10 blankets, or how many, you know.
The kids, learn to keep them on point. It's going to be a kit. It's not just a blanket, okay?
Right. Yeah, I mean, kids, I'm sorry.
Lorna, you got to jump in, old girl, okay?
Yeah, that's about a great deal.
And also, if I could say, I know, you know, all of us here represent organizations that are focused on representing God in the mm-hmm. community and the love of God through Jesus, and that, you know, everybody needs blankets, but, you know, next winter they're going to need more. And the need is, it's really not about, honestly, the blankets.
No, it's not.
It's about being who God has asked us to be, to represent Him and His love for people. The blanket is just a token, really, of God's love for each of us. That He's not a respecter of persons. He sees people where they are and He loves them. He didn't wait for us to come to Him. He came to us. So that's what we try to do. We don't wait for people to come to us in need. We try to go to them. So I just want to throw that out there also.
And to pick on what Jeff was saying, though. Sister Daniel, is Matthew 25, chapter 25, they're talking about was out. When you was in prison, you come to see me, was out. When I was homeless, did you feed me, you know? So we try to fulfill that command, what Jesus left us to do. Are we doing those things in the community? You know, and that's what we're all about. And it's not about the church, it's about what God has mandated us to do as a believer in Jesus Christ. So we try to fulfill that. So it's not about the blanket. Blanket is just a way of us demonstrating who God is in our lives. In other words, we become the hand and feet of Jesus Christ is what we're doing. So it's not so much about the kids, but about what we're doing from our heart to try and show the love of God in the community and giving people hope, you know?
All right. Now, so if I'm reading or hearing correctly, that your being on this program is a way of kind of like letting, it's a twofold process. You are asking for the donations for it, but you're also getting the word out as this is where people can receive help. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Exactly.
Okay, Lorna, thank you very much, girlfriend.
Also, remote, we have a diaper program here as well, and many times it's a lot of homeless, you know, young ladies on the street, you know, that is in need, you know, mm-hmm. you wouldn't think so. But I'll let Ramona share about what's about diaper program.
All right. Okay.
You wouldn't think that, you know, homelessness, we think of older people, but you got a lot of younger people, as Jeff can contest this, out in the street that is in need as well, especially with children on the street in the winter. You wouldn't think it would be happening, but in the winter when all the shelters fill up, there's nowhere for them to go. I mean, they're just out there. And so Ramona can share with you about how a diaper program also impact those young ladies who maybe homeless or, you know.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, we have a diaper program. Hope is also registered with 211 and the Red Cross. So a lot of social workers call us when they have clients, young women who are, whether they're homeless or not, but they're in need of diapers.
Mm-hmm.
They call to make sure that we have the size that they need. We also provide incontinence for seniors and people who are sick. You know, a lot of cancer patients become incontinent, so we have incontinence material for those. So we also have our clothes closet that every second and fourth Sunday from 3 to 4,
uh-huh.
come to Hope Recreation Center and receive clothes. and food. We have non-perishable food on the second and fourth Sundays also. So those are some of the programs that HOPE offers on a daily basis.
All right. Okay. Reverend Harrison, is there anything that you wanted to tell us about where, because it sounds like you are now, your church begin to address the need and you're seeking areas and where you can, as Reverend Sproul was saying, let people know that there's someone out there who is reaching out to you.
Yes. And, you know, just to piggyback on what everybody, you know, has said, you know, Jesus said, when you've done unto the least, you've done it unto me. And that's what we're driving at. And so right now, Easton Spring Hill Church is, we're starting to close closet ourselves. We're looking to start a soup kitchen the first of the year based on the needs of the community. So we in the infant stage, but we're looking to see how we can best reach out and to meet those out there. So again, we're trying to start a clothes closet as well as a soup kitchen. So as we get out there in the community, people get to know us, we get to know them, then we can provide these various services, you know, to help meet their needs and hopefully that we can impact them and make their life a little bit more, you know, easier.
All right. And I'm throwing this question out to anyone who wants to answer. Maybe each one will have a different aspect of the answer. Is there a way that you screen people? And I know one thing you said, you get the names and registers to make sure they don't go to, you know, go piggy hopping to, you know, different locations. But is there a way of trying to screen to make sure that they are just not taking advantage of, you know, of your services and stuff like that? Or I guess there's is there an eligibility kind of a thing? Or, you know, how do you address that kind of a question, you know, those kind of issues?
Well, for HOPE, when it comes to our second and fourth Sunday clothes closet and non-perishable food, they just have to sign in.
Okay.
There's no requirement.
Okay.
Our diaper program, there's a requirement that we make sure, well, I just recently have partnered with Detroit Diaper Bank.
All right.
So she has no requirements, but what she does, they call, she will text them on the day that I'm going to be giving away the diapers.
Okay.
Your name is already on a list. Mm-hmm. So if your name's not on the list, they won't receive any diapers.
All right.
Okay. As far as HOPE's aspect of our diaper program, I mean, I'm merging with Detroit Diaper Bank, but also we do require that at least the child is on Medicare.
Medicaid.
Insurance card.
Okay, Medicaid, rather.
Medicaid.
Yeah, sorry, I don't think they quite made Medicaid. Well, they might have made
Medicaid. So through Medicaid, the child receives a insurance card.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually ask the parent to bring that in to verify that the child is on Medicaid and their picture ID.
All right. Okay. Reverend Sproul and Jeff, how do you go about, I guess, Jeff, by you, you know, how do you go about trying to screen to make sure that the people who are in need are actually getting the service?
So, yeah, we don't really screen people as far as their need. If they're, I mean, it's pretty obvious usually if people are in need of our help, but we don't, you know, we help everybody. So one of the great things about Covenant is we see people with or without insurance.
Okay.
We started out in Southwest Detroit. So people who are undocumented, they're a big part of who we serve also. So we see people with or without documentation.
Okay.
We try to be an open door to everybody. Amen. And, that doesn't mean we don't have, you know, standards or that we, you know.
Guidelines.
We have guidelines, but, yeah, we try to remove as many barriers as possible for people to get the care they need because, if you've ever tried to access, you know, specialty care or talk to your insurance company or dealt with Department of Human Services, all these different social service agencies, there are a lot of barriers out there to get this help. So we try to minimize that as much as possible.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Reverend, go
ahead. With the kids, on the requirement, well, it's not a requirement, really. They just have to sign for them.
All right.
For the blanket, that's all we ask. And the reason why we're doing that, so we just won't be duplicating our efforts, you know.
Okay,
so, you know,
all right.
Impressed when we're getting the blanket, that's all. But other than that, yeah, the blanket is for whosoever will, let them come.
I'm thinking after I asked the question, there's the compassion part of that. Why would somebody have to prove that they're homeless or shelter?
Right.
Okay. So everything is in order, as they say.
Yeah, and it's not like some sort of magical, designation that you're homeless. Need is need. There's people who are barely hanging on to their homes,
mm-hmm.
That are on the verge of homelessness.
True.
You don't have to prove anything. If you're looking for somebody to give you a blanket, then,
There we go. Because sometimes a person may not necessarily look the part or look at what we perceive to be the part.
No.
All right. We're going to kind of like try to wind this. I'm giving the questions for each one of you and to say when, in this particular effort, and Reverend Sproul, again, the effort that we're addressing specifically today is what now again?
It's called the Give Back Project. And it's give back. We try to give back because everyone can give back at some in the community. And I thought, what a great cause to give back. Just $10 for a kit for the homeless. It's a great need. Again, we never know life's going to drop us, what we may have to us in life. And so $10, I mean, a Big Mac, half a meal cost you almost $8.
All right.
So I'm pretty sure everyone will give $10 towards a blank to a kid for a kid,
All right. Okay.
So,
and in your experience and having worked with this area, you said there's men who are coming to the prison. You have a prison ministry. Do you work specifically with homeless? Is there an area in Hope that works specifically with homeless?
Well, we work in conjunction with the Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church with their soup kitchen that they have located here as well. And so some homeless people do come here to the soup kitchen Monday through Wednesday. And so we do encounter homeless people here as well.
Okay.
So every day, Monday through Wednesday, the soup kitchen is open, and they come to get a hot meal. And so we do encounter homeless people here on a daily basis, Monday through Wednesday.
All right. Okay. Jeff, is there certain things that we have not addressed that you want to make sure we have?
No. I mean, I want to emphasize that we're a mobile team, so we go all over the city.
All right.
Call us with referrals. They see somebody on the street at 8 Mile and 75 who looks like they have a wound, and we go there and check on them and try to help them. We're on the east side, we're on the west side, so we go all over. And I want to make sure the people know that. And again, that number I gave, 996-9029, is my cell phone, and that's the best way to reach us. And we're always around. And we're looking to help whoever we can help.
Okay, and you are going to be one of the distribution sites, is that correct?
Correct. So we'll load up our van each day with blankets as well as the medical stuff. So we'll be handing out these blankets throughout the course of the winter.
I see. Okay. And Reverend Harrison.
Yes. Again, 3655 Spring Hill will be a designated site. The church. To hand out blankets. We establish the hours once we get the blankets. But, this is the season of Thanksgiving.
All right.
And, so many of us are so fortunate to have what we have, and we take too much for granted. And something just as a blanket kit, is valuable to some people.
All right.
What's $10? I mean, $10 you blow in the blink of an eye. And so if people choose to go beyond $10, they don't have to stay with the $10. Whatever their heart is, how it ever is moved to give towards these blankets will be greatly appreciated, because, like I say, you're helping someone, and that can go a long way, just to reach out and touch somebody in that manner. So we're looking to change lives, and we're just thankful to God that we can be that vehicle to reach out to the community and make an impact.
All right. Okay, Reverend Sproul, you want to take us out?
Yes, I want to thank Sister Daniels for giving us the opportunity to talk about a Give Back Project. And just to give our number out again to everyone that's listening, it's 313-897-5503. And our website is www.hopeindetroit.org. You can go to our website and donate there. Call our office, mail us. Our mail address is 6125 Beechwood in Detroit, 48210 is our zip code. And so we asking the community to give a high support this effort, very much needed effort.
Okay, and I want to thank those who have Jeff and Reverend Sproul and Reverend Harrison and Ramona for letting us know that here on Impact we were able to share about something that's being done in the Metro Detroit community. And this
Before
is Betty.
You hang up, let me give you my cell phone again.
Okay.
248-808-0306. This is Reverend Harrison.
Okay. All right. Have we got everybody? Okay. All the contact numbers? Okay, this is Betty Daniels from Impact, thanking all of my interviewees. And make sure you tune in next Tuesday, fourth Tuesday, for Impact. Impact is also on the second Tuesday of each month at WHFR.FM. And good afternoon, and thank you all.
It's an anthem right here. Got 10 on me now. I need all bitches in the DM.
All right, this is Betty from Impact, and right now we've been joined with Reverend Sproul from Hope.
Yeah.
Okay, and Reverend Sproul is Reverend Sproul. Why don't you introduce yourself? Because we already have kind of like started a discussion, but you have just joined us. So introduce yourself and let them know who you are and what you're about.
Okay, my name is Reverend Samuel Sproul from Health and Operations People Empowerment, known as Hope. And our mission is to empower people within the community to change from brokenness to wholeness. We're located at 6125 Beachwood, located in Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, old building, which we're in the process now of transforming that into a community center over there on the Beachwood and Tyman area there.
Okay.
In West Detroit.
All right. Now, Stephen and I have been talking a little bit about, let my audience know that you are listening to Impact, WHFR on the fourth Tuesday. And right now we have online, Reverend Sproul, who is, and your title again, Reverend Sproul, is with Hope, is what again?
Yes, I'm the CEO of Hope.
Okay.
All right. People empowerment.
Right. We
Hope,
have, right. Yeah, we have the CEO of Hope, and then also Clark is?
Yes, the Director of Human Concerns.
Director of Human Service Homes. Okay, so we have two entities from Hope. Okay, all right. And Stephen was telling us a little bit about what he was doing with his particular responsibilities at the part of Hope. Reverend Sproul, kind of give us a little bit of an overview of Hope itself and how it evolved, and then how Stephen came into being with you.
Well, when we located to the Beachwood property from the new church, I talked with Pastor Johnson, and the vision was to turn the old church into a community center, meaning that we want to provide services for the community. And presently, the service that is ongoing right now is the Meals on Wheels program, which is sponsored by Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, which they feed approximately 200 people a day, 800 people a week, and 3,000 meals a month. They do right now, present that location there. So it's a Meals on Wheels program for the seniors. Next, we have an NA program there. We have AA programs there. We have domestic violence classes there. And also, we have diaper programs where we give out diapers to young ladies in need of diapers.
Mm-hmm.
But we just don't give them to them. They have to, we'll give them to them too, but they have to attend our parenting classes in order to keep receiving the diapers. So we do that as well. Then we have mentoring programs where what we turn as citizens. Some people call it ex-offenders. I call it return citizens because once a person has served their time in prison, they come back home, they are a citizen of the community. So I like to refer to ex-offenders as returning citizens.
All right.
And so we provide a mentoring program for them. We do resume preparation and do referrals for those who are looking for housing, and they have stuff and use programs. We refer them out as well. So this is what we're doing now at the community center there. And moving forward, we want to do greater things. We want to offer classes like in photography and knitting classes for seniors. And also we have a gym located in the building there. And so in the near future, we hope to open it up to the community where they can come and exercise and people have, in the community have access to the gym.
Okay. Now, Stephen was telling me that he is now the person that's over the human concerns. Human concerns.
Yes.
How did that evolve from Reverend Sproul, from what you were doing, and then Stephen came in for you? So how did the two of you bring this whole thing together between the two of you?
Well, what happened was Miss Gloria Whittington, who's retired at the time, and I wanted to contain the program, and I was looking for someone for the program to continue. You know, it was overwhelming for me to do that,
right,
and also operate Hope. And so in talking to Brother Clark there, he showed an interest and wanted to take over that portion of the program. And it was more like I saw him, a young man himself, I saw him the call on his life that he wanted to do that. And I told him, I said, well, this is an opportunity for you and for the youth in the community as well as Tapnot to get involved, have an impact what we're already doing in the community there, with the clothes and with the food and so forth. And so he came on board and rolled his sleeves up, and he took it and ran with it, and he shared with me his vision, what he thought he could take it to another level of what we was already doing. And so it just been a tremendous relationship between him and I.
Okay.
And we're looking for more growth with that program.
All right. It sounds like you gave him the ball and he went over and started his own game, which was just fine with you. Is that it?
It was just fine, because I'm the type of person, Sister Daniels, where when I see people, especially young people are gifted,
mm-hmm,
talented, and want to do something, I see the call in their life, my door is always open. I've been even helping young people to grow, because, again, you know, hey, I'm not going to be here forever.
All right.
So we don't allow the young people to come along and use their talents and gifts. And what we were trying to do, it'd be non void when the good Lord called me home,
our
program continued to go on. And mm-hmm, what better way to mold and shape a young person that's come along to want to do it?
You know? All right. Do the two of you meet together to kind of bounce ideas or brainstorms and so on? And what have been some of the outcomes of those brainstorms? Stephen, you can see.
Well, we meet frequently. Him and I talk at least once a week. He got phone in person. He always sharing with me how he want to engage the community, how he want to engage other organizations to come along and work with us and to grow that. And so he always sharing his vision of where he think it could go, the possibility of involving other youth. Because right now, a lot of young people, especially college grads, are coming back to community, and they're looking for a chance to be involved in the community. So we're trying to open up doors so they can come alongside and invite their ideas as well, and to grow it, you know, let them be involved. And I think there's a problem now in the city. We're not allowing the young people the opportunity to be involved and to listen to them and let them express how they feel, and the opportunity for them to use their gifts and talent as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. I know Steve was just nodding his head as you were talking, Stephen. did he pick that right, or was
spot on? Yes, he was spot on. Yes. And you know, one of the biggest things too was that he's always told me, and the group that works with me, the YAM group, the Young Adult Ministry group,
okay,
that, you know, the door is wide open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever ideas you come up with, whatever things that you want to do, let's make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just keep them in a loop, mm-hmm, and let's make it happen.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Okay. So the two of you, is almost like this, if you're working in tangent to each other.
Yes.
That type of thing. And he's allowing you to develop and to grow.
Absolutely.
Okay. What do the two of you have? I want to hear the visions that one, Reverend Sproul, you know, what's your vision? What do you see as you see him working? What kind of things do you think would be a good, what kind of things do you see happening? And then, you know, Stephen kind of feed into that.
Yes.
Reverend Sproul, what about yourself? What kind of?
Well, what I see, the vision I have in speaking with and talking with Mr. Clark, Stephen, is that we want to empower, you know, the people to give them the opportunity to have a life-changing experience, you know, and to enhance their ability to be productive and financially and spiritually in community-wide citizens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to provide that platform where they can do that. And so Stephen is doing a great job with ideals. For instance, a prime example is that we're trying to raise right now approximately $8,000 to redo the restroom downstairs in the community center there.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen has come alongside, and the young adults come alongside, so his ideals to raise money, and that's something I really needed. And so they come alongside now. So here's an idea to help raise money. And on first Sundays when we do our fundraisers, they all there present helping. And because we all see the same thing, there's a need.
Right.
And the need, first of all, is to get the restrooms and done in the building there so we can continue with other programs, you know. So first thing first, and they saw that, it's okay, well, we need to get this done. Now we're doing that. They want to do the downstairs, other areas in the building as well. So they see the vision, but they want to bring programs in there. So they know, okay, first thing first, we got to get the building, some work done inside the building. Then we can enhance other programs that we want to do. And so they see the vision. We all together, we see it, and we work together. And that's what makes the vision come to fruition, is when you can share with others and they see it and they join in and help it come to fruition.
Okay. Stephen, can you join in as that, you know, how you know, when you see things, you know, and how do you communicate and how do you, you know, move on it?
Yes. So what we're trying to do in looking at the statistics for 2017, you had almost 2,000 people in city shelters, and 220 people was unsheltered, and that was done on a statistic survey by hand, Homeless Action Network of Detroit. And nationally, up to 1.5 million youth and young adults are homeless. And in Detroit alone, 1 in 5 homeless youth in Detroit are victims of human trafficking. And so I have a passion to see young people succeed,
mm-hmm.
and to move forward and to cultivate and elevate. And so what we want to do is, well, we have the clothes right now to get people going along with the clothes and doing other partnerships. But also, too, teaching young people how to be leaders, teaching people in the community that you don't have to be what your situation looks like.
All right.
You know, that there is more to you than what you see on TV, and there's more to you than what you see in these music and rap videos, that you can elevate yourself. So we want to start doing some leadership programs. We want to start doing other things where we're working and reading to children. So the clothes is just the start.
All right.
Clothes and food is definitely a start, and that's a base. You know, so people are always going to need clothes. People are always going to need food. And we have that there. Now, let's say, okay, you have your clothes. Now we get you some Dress for Success clothes. Okay, now you need some skills to be able to go and take those clothes, to be able to apply for jobs, to be able to go give some presentations, to be able to elevate wherever you're currently at, get to the next level.
All right.
You know, so you look the part, you feel the part. And we want to move forward with that, you know, and we need some more partnerships. We need some more volunteers.
Reverend Sproul, I'm sitting there watching him and all this energy that's...
Yeah, I'm telling you. I told you he has a passion. I'm telling you.
Yes.
You had
to
fall in the
passion
of
okay,
life,
and we just had a demonstration of the passion. Okay. My man started quoting statistics. He started
That's right.
And Red Spoon, what did you do? Say, go, man, go.
I just go, man, go. I'm telling
yes.
you, God, I've been looking for this type of relationship, Sister Daniels, for. I know I have a great board,
mm-hmm.
but I need other people to come alongside with this type of energy. You know, being a CEO, I have a staff of people that have, you know, work for me, and I got a lot going on, so I need the type of energy to keep me going. He energized me.
Right, right.
I'm like, okay.
And
I thought about that.
You know, and not
so
only are we...
keep me going as well. You know, I'm like, wow. You know. So that's what happens when you sit right there around young people. They bring energy, you know. Okay.
All
okay,
right.
So,
all
know.
Right. All right.
And I'm just so excited. You know, after being in the Hope Business this now for 7 years, I can see the labor of my fruit, you know, coming to
okay, forward. Right,
especially
right.
2018, doing great things in the community. And
yes.
I've always been a community person. Matter of fact, I serve as the community outreach person for the church, for Tabernacle, for the pastor there. So I'm always in community meetings and in and out of meetings, community and with block clubs and so forth, and then meeting downtown with the mayor and so forth. But now that I have that type of energy and young people that want to get on board and we all on the same page with the vision, I can see great things happening in 2018.
Yes, and you know, it's the focus. You know, it's a part where now you can, he has a focus, but his focus is that it's a sunrise. I'll use that word. Okay.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yes. And right. Okay. There's a sunrise. Where is this? And there's lighting on these different things and opening up opportunities.
Absolutely.
All right. That type of thing. Also, we hear the focus and channeling. So it's not being, yes, it's a sunrise, but it's not just, you know, being scattered everywhere. All
correct.
Right. And okay. Excuse my editorializing. There I go.
I want to say, too, Suzanne, if I may, you know, we'll be located at in West Detroit. Southwest gets everything. Our community center is in West Detroit.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, I was talking with the block club president last night. She said, well, we cannot keep up our, they had a 501c, but for some reason they couldn't keep it up, what happened. So they asked me last night, would Hope come alongside and apply for grants to help with some of the things in the community with Kresge Foundation and so forth? And I just had a conversation with her last night. And I said, shoot, that's why we're here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, nothing against Southwest, but Southwest always gets something. West right. Detroit doesn't have anything.
Right.
And so when I met the community and I talked about the old church being a community center, they were so thrilled that they're going to have something in the community like as a resource center. And so they was on board with it. And they weren't Jerry and the community came to me and said, hey, you know, we'd like to have a gym there. We want to have a classes for senior students. Like I say, you know, with the sewing and with the knitting classes and with photographer classes like that, you know, and be a resource hub in West Detroit where people can come and get the necessary resources we have there, you know. I talked about referrals early, you know. I have a lot of relationship with Covenant Care Clinic and other organizations that I can refer people to that they may need medical help. They may need help getting their driver's license and so forth like that. So I have that protecting relationship with other organizations that I can refer them to from Hope as well. So it's going to be a hub there. And we're just looking for a great thing in West Detroit.
All right. And, you know, that's historically the part where Tabernacle is now is on the border of what they're now calling Southwest, because a lot of parts of what is now identified as Southwest used to be West Detroit.
Yes.
All right. And because there was a border. All right. Because most of the time when people say Southwest, they thought about going towards the Lincoln Park downriver, well, not downriver, but out 4th Street that way. So the Southwest has spread. And now you have these historical kinds of things going on, and it really is almost the community needs to be educated.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. You know, where we are today, you know, let's, you know, that this is historically, but you know, you need to understand now where we are from where we used to be.
Yes.
And there is a deed. Okay. There is a different type of need. You just recently had a fair where you, there was people who were looking for manufacturing jobs or trainings and stuff. Was that something?
Oh, yes, the skills fair. Yes.
Right, okay. Was that something that you were involved in, Stephen, or was that something that
I was involved in it with a little bit as far as helping get the word out to the community about this skills fair to where they can come in and they can learn different trades. And they also had a record expungement that day as well, too, at that skills fair.
Okay. All right. Now this is different. Now, was this part of that Hope put on Reverend Sproul, or was that a combination?
No, that was done. That was done through UAW Ford and other partnerships with in the community. They were the one that had been at the church there, and I have worked those with UAW Ford many times. There's other projects with Jimmy Sellers, who've been a tremendous help to the community there. You know, and so they put that on. But they're doing great work there. And we just support them. I think many times we don't support each other, you know.
Right.
Just because I'm not the head don't mean I don't support it, you know.
Right.
They support me as
right.
well. You know,
right.
Even I do, they support it. Like, we have our community health fair, they support what I do. In return, we support what they do. It's called collaboration. Many times, people don't work together. So if you have an event and the community can benefit from it, hey, I'm going to tell the community, go over there and take advantage of a resource there. If I don't have an event, they in turn do the same to me. Hey, you know, Hope is having this. Go over there and take advantage of those resources. So that's how you grow the community. That's how you spread the word out. And that's how you the community can benefit from the affair with this.
Okay. So now if you and Stephen were looking at some type of fair, okay, where you will be opening up and letting the community know what's available, what kind, what would it can be, what would be a part of your community fair? If you had a similar kind of venue where, you know, they have these different things for expungement and job training stuff, what would be your focus and how would you, you know, put yours together?
Well, I would kind of follow a little bit of what they did as well. I would just spread more or less over the Southwest Detroit and do a little bit more groundwork with a lot of people that don't have access to the internet, may not have access to the the word out.
Many
people that come to the community center down now, they don't have access to the internet, know what's going on. So sometimes you got to do the hand and feet.
And all right.
And the flight still work even today, even with the technology, you know.
All right. So,
I know the population of people that's in need that may not hear about it. So those, that's the population I'll be trying to reach as well.
Okay. So now we're looking at a festival that Hope is putting on. Okay. So you would have your, Stephen would be focusing on what? Stephen, what would you be trying to help the community do? Get.
get more like, you know, maybe like have a health tent for them, some health screenings,
right?
Along with like some job fairs, where you have the opportunity to find employment,
all right?
And to be able to, you know, connect them with if it's something that we don't offer at Hope. Maybe somebody else wants to partner up as far as some different types of skill traits, maybe basic computer skills,
okay,
or
now,
stuff like that.
Okay, I've got you locked into what they did.
Yes.
Okay, what about your closet? What about your Meals on Wheels? How would you let the people know about all that?
Absolutely. through flyers, word of mouth, phone calls.
Now we're talking about a festival. Okay, I'm being control freak here. All right. Okay, Reverend Sproul, we're coming up now with an idea for a festival that's going to talk about the closet, mm-hmm. that's going to talk about the different things that you're trying to get out and do for the community. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to do a little stimulation to your little creativity here.
Yes.
I think it'd be like an open house, Sister Daniels. It'd
okay.
Be like a fence, like we have a computer lab there.
Mm-hmm.
People have a lab open there where they can come and take advantage of the lab.
Okay.
We showcase the gym there. We could talk about the what we're doing in the future. And they'll have some people that the instructors that are going to be teaching photography, and they're going to be doing
okay.
a class, have them there.
All right.
And do some demonstrations as well.
Mm-hmm.
And have some of my partners there from Covenant Care Clinic will come in, as Stephen said. We'll do some screening there and so forth, like they have healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be a good thing for the community, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some people there from job training opportunities there as well, you know.
Okay.
Let them know, okay, I don't know what skill set you're at, you know. Maybe you need a resume redone again, or you don't know how to write a resume, or you may need some interviewing skills, you know. Those type of things that we can have on that day that will help the people, you know, get ready for jobs.
Okay. And the clothes will be open too.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Now I heard this thing that you were like a department store. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So the closet is a department store venue. Now in the department store, they have more than clothes.
Absolutely. We do shoes. We do jewelry. Also too, we have a furniture section, an appliance section.
Mm-hmm.
Currently right now I am collecting heaters.
Okay.
For the winter time as well. Mm-hmm. too. So you have plenty to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
We've even had some artwork
All right.
that we've given out as well, too, that we've had on display.
All right.
So, we've had people come in, and they've gotten some clothes. They've gotten some shoes, kids' clothes, clothes for the mother, clothes for the father. They've even picked up some books.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had one lady even walk out with the washer and dryer set that we helped get out for her, and we took it all the way down to her house.
All right.
And some artwork as well, too.
All right. Okay. So, therefore, we got a new festival.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And also, too, we adopted Samson Weber School.
All right.
And we supplied, thanks to the donation from UNW for Jimmy Sellers, who were able to give out a lot of winter coats.
Right.
Kids down at school there, at Samson Weber School.
Mm-hmm.
And also we give out gloves. And we have a volunteer that goes up to the school and wash the uniforms. The
mm-hmm.
kids that come to school, their uniform need to be washed. We have a uniform at the school there. And our volunteer will wash the uniform by the kids in class, and they have a uniform to take back home with them.
All right. So the thing is then getting the word out.
Yes, getting the word out, yes. And getting donations as well.
Yeah, and I want to tell you right now, I really appreciate you giving this opportunity to come on the air to share with the audience, with your audience, what we're doing in the community, what Hope is doing, and how we trying to move things forward and what we're trying and share our vision of what we're going to do in 2018 as well. So I want to thank you for this opportunity.
Okay.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, and then is Raymond Sproul, what word? Contact number for Hope. What is that contact number for them?
Okay, the contact number is 313-897-5503.
Okay, and when they do this, is that a direct line into Hope, or do they have to ask?
Yeah, that's a direct line right into Hope.
Okay, all right. Yes. Okay, and is there any particular time or day that they can leave a call for
they
you?
They can call. We open from 9 until 3 Monday through Thursday. Mm-hmm. They can call 24 hours, any time, and leave on a voicemail.
Okay, okay.
And we always checking our voicemail during the course of the day because we have a partnership with United Way as well.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll call, they'll refer us to a family, to a family get burned out, in need of food or whatever. And then they will call us. So we always checking our voicemail because we never know what family may need, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Financial can't do it 1 o'clock in the morning, but we'll be aware the next morning. They leave a contact number, and we will call them back and,
okay.
And do what we can for that particular family that may get burned out or just lost, lost some items. So we tried to help them as well.
All right. Well, then I want to thank you both for being a part of Impact for this fourth Tuesday, and look forward to talking to you again. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
All right. Yes. Okay. Bye bye.
I know who you are.
This is Jonathan Weigel, host of Songwriter Symposium. 2018 Detroit Music Award winner Emily Rose has just released her new studio record called Wake Up Brave. Emily will be joining me live in studio this coming Sunday to talk about songwriting, her new record, and to play some live music for us. So join me this coming Sunday, December 2nd at 5 o'clock, right here on WHFR.
I'm at the bottom of my... Listener-supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists.
Yo, guys and dolls, you are at the malt shop with Daddy G, and we're going back to the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the malt shop, where the jukebox is playing, and the kids are dancing, and here we are, back in the 50s.
I wonder who.
Who wrote the book of love?
Tell me, oh, who wrote the book of love? I've got to know the answer. Was it someone from above?
I wonder,
who wrote the book of love?